Okay.
Couple of years.
Co-host of my podcast about soap operas and wrestling. I don't do wrestling. We talk about the soap opera, the General Hospital, that I was just talking to you about. How I don't think Jason and Elizabeth are going to get a fair shot.
All right, so let's hope this goes public instead of private.
That I was just talking to you about.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, I don't think Jason Elizabeth are going to get a fair shot. I think we might be live.
We are live, but it went private. I'm going to see if I could change it on the fly.
Why is that? You still can't figure out why that happens?
Yeah, I can't figure that out as to why that happens. No, it's not made for kids. And let me see, is there any possible...
Hi, Austin Butler.
The ability is public, so it should be there.
I don't know how I'm going to operate with these nails. They're so long.
Let me see.
I'm not going to be able to operate with these. I'm going to break a nail tomorrow. I'm probably going to break a nail.
Oh, it is public. Okay, so we are live.
We're public. Hi. Hello, everybody. Sorry. You're hearing like side discussion because we're just making sure we're live.
We are live. So I'm going to go ahead and post that we are live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Suds in the Squirt Circle, Suds News. I am Vinny. This is a slightly buzzed Christy.
Sorry. Sorry, y'all. It's an interesting week.
That's all right. It's not a problem at all. It's one of those things where sometimes life happens. Anyways, how was your week last week?
So I finally got over being sick.
Well, that's a good thing.
I slept most of the weekend. And then by Sunday night, I realized I am actually going to go to New York and I may possibly meet Austin Butler. And at the very least, I'll be in the same room about 100 feet away from him. And then I forgot how sexy his voice sounded. And then I listened to some of his interview clips and I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. I am in trouble now. So y'all pray for me because I'm going to New York and I'm going to try to meet Austin Butler and give him a gift because there are fans on GoFundMe that I did last year that raised $300 to give him a gift. And I had to purchase it again because the gift got lost in the mail. And I don't think you could actually send Austin Butler a gift in the mail because he's way too famous. And I don't even know if any of his people will forward his mail. So anyways, that's my quest for this week to meet Austin Butler, which is why I am buzzed because I didn't sleep last night because I was so excited. And if I don't sleep tonight, I'm worried for what might happen in New York City. So I need to sleep tonight. So hence me being buzzed, which is not normally what you would get. You usually get sober, Christy, but you're just going to get something a little different tonight, or what my friend David would say, I'm being naughty. So hi, yes. David, if you're here and listening to this.
Yeah, I was actually just talking to David on Blog Talk Radio on Take Two Radio Soaps and Reviews. So I was just on there for 2 hours, but now we're here. And there's a lot of stuff to go over. First of all, for those of you who are watching and listening, thank you for choosing to watch us tonight. Go ahead and click the like button, get subscribed, get notified. If you're listening on a podcast, again, thank you. Go ahead and make sure that you give us a 5-star Apple review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, et cetera, et cetera. Also, if just want to let you know, we do have that awesome affiliation now with Fanatics and WWE Shop, which is a Fanatics experience. Go ahead and go to sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestlingmerch. That'll take you to WWE Shop using our affiliate code, and we do get commission on that. You can buy this awesome CM Punk shirt from there as well. Also, everything else, that we normally go over, the website, the Twix accounts, Facebook, etc. Follow us everywhere. And we've got a lot to go over today because we've got some big breaking news that just came out not too long ago. Chris Van Etten and Dan O'Connor are out as head writers at General Hospital. And the new head writers are Patrick Mulcahy and Elizabeth Corte. And Elizabeth has been there for over 30 years at this point. So she knows the history of General Hospital.
I'm actually so excited about this, to tell you the truth, Vinny. Like, when I heard about this, there's been some issues with Chris and Dan for a while, or at least issues with some of us fans. Maybe not everybody feels that way. And that's fine. They wrote some good stuff. They wrote great stuff for Chaelin once upon a time. They had great foundation for them. But the pacing was just so bad. And I think I kind of have to attribute that to Chris and Dan, and I'm sorry. Thank you for everything you did, because it's probably really hard writing a soap opera for that airs 5 days a week. But I mean, there was just some writing issues, and I think there has been for a while. So I'm actually not mad about this news, but I am grateful for what, you know, the good Chris and Dan did. So thank you for your service. But I am happy to enter a new era, and I feel like we need more female head writers on General Hospital and soaps in general. So I'm honestly all for it.
No, absolutely. I completely agree with you. We do need more female head writers in daytime in general. Hello, Nathan. Welcome to the chat. And remember, folks, the chat is open. Definitely get us your thoughts as we move through the week that was in Port Charles. Before we do get into the General Hospital information, I do want to mention that today there was the announcement of the cover superstar for WWE 2K14 coming out on March 5th. There's, as always, there's going to be three editions. The main standard edition has Cody Rhodes on the cover. The deluxe edition actually has two female superstars on the cover, Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley. And then the actual extreme deluxe edition, whatever you want to call it, is the 40 years of WrestleMania edition. That's going to be the biggest price point, of course. I did pre-order it already, so keep an eye out for that, but well deserved for Cody.
My roommate is here behind the screen going, yes, wrestling. She loves wrestling, so that's my bonus mom, y'all. So
well that's good. I'm glad at least we got some wrestling in the house. And trust me, Royal Rumble coming up this coming Saturday evening on Peacock at 8 o'clock. And let me put it this way. This first time in many years that the Royal Rumble, you actually can't pick who's going to win. It's storyline based, which is great. Triple H has done a fantastic job as coming into the writing and being the head content officer. This, you know, you could have CM Punk winning it. You could have Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre, Gunther. It right now it's up in the air, and I'm very happy to say that I cannot wait for this Saturday Royal Rumble on Peacock live from Tropicana Field in Tampa Bay. Or in Florida, I should say. No, it is Tampa Bay, because that's where the Tampa Bay Rays play. So that was actually the former site of the Thunderdome back during the COVID era for a little while. So they're back there now. And I do want to say that I did go ahead and add yet another wrestling show to my WrestleMania weekend. As everybody knows, I'm going out to Philadelphia for WrestleMania 40. So not only am I going to both nights of WrestleMania, I'm also going to the SmackDown prior, which has the Hall of Fame, the NXT, which is a Saturday of WrestleMania night one, as well as my
roommate is loving this, by the way. She's just like, yes, every time you mention wrestling, it's like.
But I also just added to my agenda Thursday night at the old ECW arena, the 2300 arena. And that's going to be an independent show. Surrounded with WrestleCon, so I'm going to be there as well. So I'm going to be a full weekend of wrestling. And
get you a media pass, man.
I'm like, working on it. I did reach out to WWE about getting media credentials, especially for the press conference, the media scrum after WrestleMania. I'm hopeful I can get in. I'm gonna pester them.
Yeah, I mean, you've already got your tickets paid for, so exactly. It's not like we have to front you tickets.
Exactly. So that's my goal. That's what I'm working on. Again, for those of you, I did purchase this, the Tumblr. Christie's is actually in the mail. But this is made by Creations by Riss, RISS from Connecticut. Creations by Riss, RISS at gmail.com. And they do make, they make custom tumblers. Reach out to her for information. Again, thank you all for watching and listening. Go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe, get notified. Let me kind of catch up on chat a little bit. Nathan, welcome. You did say with the recent writing change, it's a welcoming change, though I am concerned with Elizabeth Corte at the helm. She has a love affection for Carly a little bit too much. David Patrick Mulcahy was part of the 90s era of General Hospital. And speaking of the 90s, I'm just happy that the new writers are not Vince Russo and or Tony Khan. Because number one, as everybody knows, my disdain for AEW and the writing for AEW is just absolutely horrible.
That's why you don't watch it, even though one of my roommates really likes AEW and you said you didn't like it.
Yes, we talked about that off air, and yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. I have a disdain for AEW because of their writing. There's no storytelling. There's no psychology. Vince Russo, we all know.
My bonus mom agrees with you. She's like, yes.
And then we all know Vince Russo, what he did during the Attitude Era, how he was great in the WWE, but when he went to WCW, the bloom fell off the rose because he did not have the filter that was Vince McMahon keeping him in line, because he basically, outside of the finger poke of doom and many other things, put the nail in the coffin of WCW. All right. So David said that Patrick was part of the 90s era of General Hospital. Chad says, hey, Christy. Hey, Vinny. Hi.
Comments. Hey, Chad. Thanks for staying up late.
Apparently, I was using the wrong version of YouTube. So, welcome.
Oh, welcome, that's Chad. What it is.
David, welcome, Nathan. And you guys are talking about, Chad does say, hey, Christy, I love how thrifty you're being about seeing Austin Butler.
I try to go to New York City on a budget every time, but I guarantee you whatever money I quote unquote save, New York City will take all of it like a vacuum to my wallet, to my bank account, and go, oh, hey, you think you're coming here with this much money? You will leave with $0.
That is very, very true. Especially and living in Connecticut, which basically become a suburb of New York City. It's the same thing. All right. So what do you want to talk about? We got a lot to talk about here in Port Charles this week, coming off of Bobby Spencer's memorial and funeral. We actually had a pretty decent week this week in Port Charles regarding just a lot of storyline movement. And in general, first off, we go to, Chad says that was supposed to be thirsty, not thrifty.
for Austin Butler.
For Austin Butler.
Valid. All right, let's get into General Hospital. Because I could do a whole podcast about Austin Butler. So let's go.
So let's get into General Hospital. Yes. Now to talk about it, the biggest thing in the room is on Friday's episode, Drew said those two little words to Nina that were made famous by Vincent Kennedy McMahon, you're fired. Or you could have done the Donald Trump, you're fired.
Or the Donald Trump, yeah.
Exactly.
Let's not mention him. I don't particularly like him, so. I'll go with the Vincent McMahon thing.
But you know what? Either way, the thing is one of the biggest things that was brought up on Twix is that when Nina signed with Julian Jerome to become the head the head editor of Crimson, she signed a no fire contract, basically. And basically, she could not be fired by any of the owners or managers or whoever came in to run Aurora. However, with that said, basically she was blackmailed into resigning from Crimson. Drew went ahead and basically kind of told her that he was going to close down Crimson, put all of her staff out of business if she didn't resign. And she did. She ended up, you know, going with it and said, you know what? I care about the workers and the writers and the staff. I don't want you to shutter Crimson, so go ahead and I will step back. And that's exactly what she did. So he
funny kinda... how, like, Drew is, like, the second one basically to blackmail Nina into doing whatever he wants, which is interesting.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, the biggest thing is that Nina brings a lot of this crap on herself. And she doesn't take any accountability. There's one thing about you know, getting your accountability, but there's another completely thing to blame everything on everybody else. We already know that Carly hid the truth about Nell and hid the truth about Willow from Nina for months. We know that. It's in the past. But that did not necessarily make Nina as, you know, that didn't actually cause Nina to do anything other than be vindictive. Remember, Nina called the SEC on Drew and Carly because they did do insider training. They did. They, you know, so she was right to do what she did. She did it out of pettiness. She did it out of...
she didn't do it for the right reasons.
Exactly.
She did it for her own selfish motives.
Did, you know, and the thing is, Drew was right. Carly never made any... She didn't, Carly lost a lot of money on it. And nobody actually told Carly to invest in Aurora. She did it on her own behalf. However, at the time, you know, she thought that Aurora and ELQ were going to merge. So she was acting on inside information that never actually happened. So it's not like a Martha Stewart case or any other kind of case where somebody made a lot of money on insider information. She lost everything, including the shirt off her back. And then Drew had to go to prison. Because the judge was making an example out of him.
Right. And then he got beat up in prison, which will live on in my mind forever because he got beat up naked in the shower.
Yes.
Realistic, yes. But it's still traumatizing, even in my mind to this day. Even though I'm not, like, the biggest, like, Drew fan or anything. But that's traumatizing. Like, that could be traumatizing to someone who's never dealt with that kind of thing before in prison or anyway.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. Absolutely. And the other thing is, Drew brought it up that, you know, he was away from Scout. Now, granted, after being, you know, Cassadine Island in Greece for held captive by Victor Cassadine for 2 years, and then to come back, and then having to go to prison for a month, you know, it could have been 2.5 years or whatever the case might be, you know, being taken away from Scout. But then right after he gets out of prison, he goes down to Australia. So, you know, there's a little bit of hypocrisy with Drew saying, you took me away from my daughter. But I have to say, I like this new edge of Drew. It's actually making the character a lot more interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
And a lot more, you know, well, lack of a better term, edgy. But Drew is still getting a lot of hate online. I don't know whether it's just because Cameron Matheson, you know, does a lot of stuff with Hallmark Channel or whatever, but it's, you know, a lot of people
don't care about that. I think it's a Drew character thing. I think it's like a writing. Like, he's not, he is a little bit of a hypocrite, and he does, you know, I don't know. But like you said, this gives him an edge, so I'm not really that mad at it, because I'm just like, Ooh, I kind of like to see Drew angry and mad. Like, it's kind of interesting because he's always like this happy-go-lucky guy who's like friends with everybody.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's kind of nice to see him have like a huge conflict with somebody and kind of have an edge to him because he really doesn't like Nina. And that gives him a little bit of like a, well, I'm going to do something even in let my emotions influence my business decisions, even though, you know, she brought that up, obviously. And he's going to do it anyway because he feels like he has the right. And, you know, whatever. I don't mind it because Nina's, you know, Nina, and we don't like her for various reasons because of, you know, what she did. So it's fine with me.
But you actually, you know, the thing is, and David is right, you can't blame Nina for Drew's beating. Yeah, Drew wouldn't be in prison if it wasn't for her. But if you remember, Drew kind of ruffled some feathers when he went in, you know, getting on Cyrus Renault's bad side, you know, and even though Cyrus is doing his whole, you know, prophecy and, you know, saying the good word act while he was in there. Although, you know, at that point in time, we were still under the FICOR writer. So, yeah, that was a different kind of thing. So they did write Drew into that situation. You know, the argument could be made is, yeah, Drew wouldn't be in that situation in prison if it wasn't for Nina. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can't blame Nina. Nina's not the one that put Cyrus at Drew or pointed the guys that beat him up at Drew. Unfortunately, prison has its own politics and its own pecking order, and Drew kind of went in and upset that apple cart. But the best part, the best line is that Nina said, you know, I'm irreplaceable. And Drew said, well, you know what? I already hired your replacement. And in walks Carly.
Oh, she looked hot.
And let me
tell you, that girl was in all black. I'm like, Carly is in her Reputation era. And y'all Taylor Swift fans know what I'm talking about. But like, ooh, that Carly came in hot. She looked good. And I'm not a big Carly fan, but she looked good. And that she knows how to make an entrance. You have to admit that, even if you're not a Carly fan.
No, absolutely.
She knows how to make an entrance.
And, you know, it's funny because Matt from the 10th floor posted that when Carly came walking in, she needed an entrance song, you know, and he's, you know, teasing that it could have been Stone Cold or, you know, with the glass shattering or The Rock with If You Smell What the Rock Is Cooking. but I said,
Taylor Swift fan, ready for it?
Just that wasn't my thought. but the one that I chose, that I said, you know what? And it's perfect. I'll play a short snippet now so we don't get thrown off YouTube, but be monetized. Well, we're not even monetized, but thrown off.
We're not monetized.
But basically. It just comes down to Stephanie McMahon. And that's what Carly's, you know, the song should have been playing. Making the entrance like only she could. But the question is, does she have any experience to bring, you know, a crimson tail? Like, she has no experience running a magazine, let alone a fashion magazine.
Okay. This is true, but it's Carly. Isn't she open to being a quick learner? She learned how to run Bobby's/Kelly's.
Like, but she had experience in the hospitality industry already.
True, she did. But I just feel like Carly can do anything she puts her mind to, and especially if it's about sticking it to Nina, all bets are off. Doesn't matter if she's experienced or not. Carly's going to do it, and she's probably going to try to do a better job than Nina did, if I know Carly. So with me, because I don't like Nina, right?
So is Carly the general, the Port Charles Barbie, where she can be every, you know, have every job or career path that she wants?
Okay. Any female in General Hospital could be the GH Barbie and have any job or position they want, as far as I'm concerned, because I'm all about female empowerment, feminism. But regardless of all of that, Carly can do whatever she wants, and Carly will do whatever she wants because Carly does what she wants, and if you don't like it, too bad. Go sit in the corner and cry. Like, that's just how it is.
So just kind of...
Am I right, Carly fans? I mean, I'm not a huge Carly fan, but I'm pretty sure that's how Carly operates.
Well, you know what? Regardless of anything, Laura Wright is fantastic. Laura Wright,
oh, yeah,
as an actor, is just absolutely fantastic. And she can. She can do anything that she puts her mind to. Kind of catching up on chat a little bit. Chad says, you're right about Nina. It takes no accountability. Chad also said people were complaining that Drew's the Peloton guy, that he's teeth lavery, etc. So now they've given him the harder edge and people are still not happy, which is true. People are complaining about just about anything, about Drew, about Carly, about Nina, about Esme.
That's just General Hospital fans, because we always find something to complain about. That's just norm. That's just the norm. That's just like the MO. That's just like our normal status quo. We got to find something to complain about, because General Hospital is not 100% perfect, and we know that, and we're going to talk about it. Hence why we have a podcast. Hence why many other people have a podcast. So we're here.
Also, quick programming note before we move on. Tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, is the live debut of Dockside at the Bay with myself and my new co-host, Kim, who happens to be from Chicago, which is which is quite ironic that both of my co-hosts are from Chicago. And that was not even, you know, planned that way.
That's so funny. I love it.
Tomorrow we'll be talking about the Bay. Episode one dropped last week. Talked about the Bay, the beginning, episode one. It was just me without a co-host. Tomorrow night we'll be live with a co-host.
Good. So, fantastic. Love
that'll,
it.
That'll be that. And then there's still more content coming down the pike as I work, get things done.
Vinny's just a content creator nowadays, y'all. You better be ready. He's just gonna keep churning out some stuff. So
I'm trying.
I admire the work ethic there.
The only thing I am not gonna do is OnlyFans. So
yes.
You don't have to worry about that one.
Oh, y'all, you lucky wine wasn't in my mouth. I would have spit it out.
Let's see. So again, we did have we had some scenes with, do we have some scenes with Chase in Brooklyn this week? I don't believe so.
Did we? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No. She might have been in some Quartermain scenes. Brooklyn might have been in a Quartermain scene or two, but I don't think there was any Chase in Brooklyn this week that I recall. But I am on my second glass of wine, so my memory's a little fuzzy at this point. So...
Although I will say that it did come up to, I will say that it was a very Nina-centric week, because outside of her getting fired from Crimson, also she had it out with
Willow.
You know, here's the thing. Here's my biggest thing. So there was Chaylin stuff today. I did not watch today's. I won't be watching.
I didn't watch today either. I was way too busy at work trying to get stuff done before I leave for 3 days.
It was for a while. So that was
today. I'm happy though. I'm happy about that. I will watch today as I fall asleep drunk in my bed.
So, you know, Nina and Willow, here's the biggest thing about Nina. She doesn't know when to stop. She's one of those people that just keeps on going. Like, I get it that she wanted to make up with Willow and kind of explain her side and everything, but Willow's not ready for it. And she's like, let's talk. You know, I want to talk. I'm so sorry. It was because of this. It was because of that. It was because of this. And why does Carly get a free pass? Instead of just coming out and saying, yes, I did call the SEC. Drew and Carly did this, and I called out of spite because of XYZ, and that's all there is to it, and I'm sorry. Instead, she keeps trying to push and say, you know, maybe at some point, you know, we'll be able to have a good relationship again, and maybe this and maybe that. And the only reason why I kept quiet is because, you know, Michael wanted me to, you know, stop seeing, not spend time with you or the kids. And then when Drew and Carly come up and say, you know, Drew and Carly come up and say, Willow, were you okay? And Nina's like, well, guess what? Michael knew the whole time for months too. And Willow's like, you know, well, if you didn't lose me before, you sure as hell lost me now.
Epic fail on all fronts, Nina. Like,
Exactly.
nothing you say is saving this situation at all. Nothing. You're just burying yourself in a deeper and deeper hole.
Yeah. And that's all, that's what it boils down to, is that Nina does just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And you know, it's like, I get it. She wants to say her piece. She wants to make herself look good. She wants to apologize, but she's not going to make herself look good. I've been in those situations. I've had to learn to shut my mouth when somebody wasn't receptive to me talking to them, which is
Yeah.
very, very difficult.
You know, I do want to give an honorable mention, seriously, to Cynthia Watros because I
Oh,
know
yeah.
she must get an insane amount of hate for her character.
Oh, she
Like,
does. Yeah.
crazy, insane amount of hate, especially on X or Twix, because it's just the most negative platform, let's be honest, of social media. And I can't imagine the crazy hate monk comments, but she responded to one the other day, which I saw with a gif because they meant to say something else, but they said duck. And she responded with a gif with a duck. And I'm telling you, that was classic. That was
I
like
didn't see that.
one of the best responses I have ever seen. So honorable mention, like, if this was Dish and Day's three claps award for Cynthia Watros this week, because that was one of the best responses to a troll on Twitter I have ever seen. So, Cynthia, I admire you. I know you probably get so much hate, but like we love to hate Nina,
Yeah.
but like that just means Cynthia is doing her job like
Exactly.
really, really well. So
Yes.
I just want to point that out.
But I want to see Nina stop being so apologetic. Like, own the shit that you've done and be like, yeah, Carly and Drew committed this crime. So no, I'm not sad that, you know, I'm sad that Carly didn't get arrested and go, you know, go to prison. You know, I'm sad that Drew had to be taken away and stuff that happened. I want her to own it. Like, stop being so apologetic. Like, you know what? Take your lumps, because you know what? You're going to be more respected if you just go out there and take it like a person, and take it, you know, without,
Yeah,
own it.
exactly. Just like own up. Yeah, own up to what you did.
Yeah.
Stop trying to justify everything
Yes,
and go, well, Michael
exactly.
did this. Michael didn't say anything. She keeps making excuses for like why she did what she did. And she
Right.
just keeps like deflecting blame on other people. And I'm like, yeah. See how this works for you, Nina. See how this works for you. See if this helps anything. Because I guarantee you it's just not working.
Yeah.
And that's why she's crying. And she's like, oh, why doesn't anyone accept my apology? Because it's not genuine.
Right.
It's not
You're
genuine.
exactly right. It's not. Chad chimed in saying the biggest problem with Nina, yes, she keeps pushing Willow to forgive her and accept her. Exactly. Nina needs to own her bad woman. She keeps crying, expects absolution. So it's, and that's where it come. And then David said that part
100%.
was too far.
100% accepts absolution. She's like, oh, I apologize. So all is forgiven now, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's literally her response. And I'm like, no.
And then she
Yeah.
goes to see Cyrus. And she's trying to be mad at Cyrus because he played, you know, he listened to her confession instead of the
Oh, yeah.
truth.
You know, that reminds me. Both Nina and Esme were really desperate this week and both went to see Cyrus.
Yes.
Extremely desperate woman to get their way.
Oh, we'll get to
They
Esme
should
in
be
a little bit.
friends. Nina and Esme need to hook up and be friends. They're both
Imagine.
playing the same kind of game.
But and which is there's a couple of thoughts I have on that. That would be fantastic if they balanced each other out. If Esme, again, if Esme, which we know she regained her memories and she's turning into the a hybrid of the old Esme and the new Esme. But she doesn't, she's trying to hide it as much as possible. Whereas, you know, Nina, they could cause so much chaos in poor Charles if they teamed up.
Oh my God. They could probably blow up the town. Like, I'm not kidding. They really could. Like, it happened on Days. My favorite character, Camila Akagabi Hernandez. Now, Gabby, she's a last name. She's a new last name because she married
Tamara.
Demara. Sorry, I couldn't think of it for a second because I'm like on my second glass of wine. But yeah, like it's the same thing. Like literally could be such a baddie. These two baddies could literally blow up the town of Port Charles because of their badness. 100%.
Yeah. But see, with Esme, kind of switching gears now to Esme's story, we know that she's gotten her memories back.
Oh yeah.
Here's my big thing. I feel like the character of Laura right now is just very, at least for this week, was very, I don't want to say two-faced, but very flim-flammy, if that's a word, because
Right? Yeah,
she
like she kind of wants to ride both sides of the fence type of thing.
yeah, because she tells Esme, you have to be held accountable. You have to go turn yourself in for breaking into Windermere. But then, when the judge gives her just probation and community service or whatever, and Spencer is like, you know, why didn't you? Or Trina goes to her and says, you should have gotten in prison, not for this, but you know, you've got to be held accountable. And then it's like Laura's on her side. You know, saying no, she didn't have to go to prison. She shouldn't have had to go to prison. And when Nicholas finally comes back and talks to Spencer and gets Spencer to give him Ace to take Ace away,
That's a whole nother can of worms that we got to get into.
yes. You
That
know,
was a doozy.
so as so Spencer gives Ace to Nicholas and says, you know, you're his father. And I like that Nicholas was redeemed, in my opinion, this week.
Now.
At least with his relationship to Spencer.
It's getting there. It's progress. I won't say it's 100% redeemed. I will say it's progress. But the fact that Spencer just gave Nicholas Ace and was like, sure, haven't seen you in a few months. Sure. Here's the kid. Bye. Good riddance. Like,
But
see you later. Like, I mean, what?
Spencer truly believes that Ace will be safer with Nicholas because they connected with the heart to heart and Nicholas apologized and
I'm having trouble believing what Nicholas was saying when he was like, well, it would be more dangerous if Ace was left with you. And I'm like, but what's your proof? Like, I'm confused. Why? Like, he didn't really explain, did he?
well, when Spencer explained that Esme got her memories back, that at least he believed so because she called him Spence. I know that's a little flimsy of a
It's a bit, it needs more
war.
material there because it's a very weak, like it's coming across as a very weak excuse, like, oh, she got a memory back. She called me Spence. Like she's right. Like, oh, everyone's gonna just believe you because, you know, I called you Spence.
But
Like,
see, here's the
he
thing.
is right
Yes.
because it's not like coming across as valid enough of like, oh, she's definitely got her memory back because like he's right, but like not everyone's going to see it because they don't really know the ins and outs of the whole Spencer Esme thing. And I think it will come to pass because eventually, like, she's definitely gonna like flip out. Like, she's already flipping out already because Ace is gone, but she will continue to flip out and it will continue to show her true colors that she's really back to the old Esme. And so it'll be interesting to see how this like bakes in the oven, so to speak. So we'll see how this goes. But it's...
Here's the thing. When Spencer was at the police station visiting Esme, he had a couple of different flashbacks besides just being called Spence. Like, he had some other flashbacks that he was able to put together that she had her memories back. What happened?
The flashbacks were good. They were good. I will give GH points for that.
What happened to those memories for Spencer saying, hey, she remembered XYZ out of our relationship besides just saying, oh, she called me Spence. But again, Laura coming back and kind of being on Esme's side and saying, why, you know, why would you give Ace to Nicholas? You know, Esme's his mother and fighting for Esme.
You know what's crazy is the crazy thing about this whole situation is I understand where Esme is coming from.
Yep.
Because she hasn't really done anything to show that she would harm her baby.
Agreed.
Right? Agreed. Am I right?
You're
like,
right.
Like, she hasn't really done anything to say, like, oh, I'm going to go, like, murder my child one day. And, like, that's fine. Like, it's nothing like that. Like, she's actually, like, really taking care of her baby. Even after her memories came back and she knows stuff, she's still very vigilant about taking care of Ace and making sure her baby's okay. So I really don't think she would do anything.
No, of course not.
Ace, she may psychologically manipulate her kid down the line. Of course. Of course that's possible.
That's where I feel like Kevin needs to be involved in this. Because Kevin worked with Ryan so much and saw Ryan for how manipulative he was. So why wouldn't Kevin get involved with his niece, Ryan's daughter, so that she doesn't become like he was and become Kevin needs to be there. He needs to be involved in the storyline.
100%.
You know?
Oh yeah. 100%.
Instead of Laura being the voice of reason or you know, being the one that sees good in Esme, Kevin should be, because for years Kevin kept his brother hidden because he thought he could fix him and thought he could change him and said he could try to see good in him until the very end when he realized there's just no redeeming Ryan Chamberlain.
Is there any chance we could redeem Esme, who's the daughter of Ryan Chamberlain? Like, that's really the real question.
Yeah.
Like, because now that she has her memories back and she feels justified of her past actions, I don't think there really is any true redemption for Esme then, right? Like, that's the real dilemma.
I think there is. There has to be, once they figure out the situation with Ace, if Esme is to be redeemed, she needs to A, come clean that she remembers her past, or B, she needs to say, okay, I remember all the crap I did in the past and actually learn the fact that she was manipulated by Ryan and learn from her mistakes or learn from her past. That's the only way that she's actually going to be redeemed. Let's kind of catch up on the chat a little bit. Let's see. Cynthia Rochos is great and has been since Guiding Light. No, it's not genuine for me. No, she keeps on about changing Nell. She tried, and Nell threw her kindness in her face because she was a sociopath. I love the scene between Nicholas and Spencer. If Nicholas wanted to show he's changed, he wouldn't have. He wouldn't just take his kid and disappear from Spencer's life again.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually.
Yeah, no, I agree. But he didn't want to stay in Port Charles because he didn't want to go to prison.
That whole thing is crazy to me. And Laura has some valid points there about, like, oh, well, Nicholas is, like, on the run and he's just going to take the baby and just, like, think that's a good idea and just, like, go?
Yeah.
Really?
They play
that's
off.
That's going to backfire. I think, on Nicholas. Something's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. As for Laura, they play off Laura's good heart and trusting, kind nature as naive, especially when it comes to her guilt about leaving Nicholas. But I see people on Twix saying that she tried to hurt her baby by trying to throw herself off the parapet. But since then, she's been very motherly towards him and done nothing to show that she's hurting him. And I agree about Kevin. And spoiler, they are supposed to have some scenes later on. Nathan chimes in saying the fact that Kevin and Esme haven't had a lot of scenes since they've related is a crime of itself. Hopefully Patrick and Elizabeth can right those wrongs since Esme has been written out. Unless Esme has been written out.
There's a lot to unpack here. Like, it's gotten more and more complicated now with this whole situation, because now Nicholas has taken off with Ace. Spencer sure as hell didn't ask Esme's permission. So that's a whole huge issue. So now, my only
thing about her throwing herself off the parapet to try to, you know, I don't think that was necessarily to harm her child. I think it was more along the lines she was trying to escape being captive.
She was trying to save herself. That was about saving herself. That wasn't anything to do with I think it was just in desperation to save herself. It wasn't. Yes,
completely agreed.
It's all about self-preservation, I think, for her in the end. But so I think we'll see eventually, like maybe she'll physically take care of her kid. But down the line, I would assume, because she's like, she's a freaking psycho, that that kid is going to be messed up. God forbid. But like, hopefully Laura or someone can intervene, because I don't know. That kid, I'm scared for that kid's upbringing, honestly. Like, can you imagine Ace in 10 years from now, 20 years from now? What is that going to even look like?
Well, exactly. And I think that's one of the reasons why Nicholas came back, is seeing, you know, Nicholas and Spencer seeing Esme, how she was acting like Ryan and basically using Ryan as a, you know, as a mentor. You know, Nicholas feels he could be a better father. But see, here's the thing. Nicholas is on the run. Being on the run is no way to raise a child.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Like, how did he think he was just going to take Ace? That Ace is safer with him on the run than in poor Charles with his mother, Esme. Even though Esme, of course, is a crazy lunatic, psycho, like, selfish person. But still, like, he's ripping him away from the only home he's known since birth.
Yeah.
And the child is what? I don't know, 9 months? I don't know.
About a year almost.
A year?
Yeah, I think.
I still think babies can tell that they've been taken away from the only home they've ever known, even though they're only like 1 year old, right?
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about babies. I haven't had kids. So please, you know, feel free to comment, you know, if I'm wrong. But like, that's just crazy to me that Nicholas is like, oh yeah, I'm just going to pick up Ace, and you know, Nicholas is just going to give him to me because, you know, I have such a great relationship with my son to begin with. And I'm just going to take him, and you know, it's going to be fine. And then Spencer's just going to have to explain to Esme that I took him and whatever. Like, I mean, the whole thing is just freaking nuts. Yeah. Like, now we just blew up an entire like situation to be an even bigger. It was already a problem. They were already having problems. Spencer, Esme, and Ace, this whole situation was already like an issue because of like him dating Trina. And now he's supposed to go to Paris with Trina. I don't even know if that's going to go down because of all this stuff going on right now. So right. I wouldn't be surprised if he decides not to go to Paris. And that's actually okay with me.
Unless he's in prison for aiding and abetting a kidnapping.
Exactly. See, that could be how he's written off for the time being while he's, you know, Nicholas Chavez is doing this other show.
Right.
So that's, I mean, honestly, that's fine with me. I said this last week. I think Trina needs to spread her wings and fly and become her, live her best self. She doesn't have to have Spencer with her. That's not necessary. But I feel like they feel emotionally that it's necessary for their relationship to be together in Paris, even though it's not necessarily the case.
Right.
Because they're young and they're in love and they feel like they need to be together in Paris and they want to be together in Paris, but that doesn't necessarily need to be the case. And I'm saying this as a very, I don't know what you call it, low-level, self-aware Sabrina fan. Like, I love Sabrina, I do. But I also see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that Trina needs to spread her wings and do whatever she needs. She doesn't need Spencer to be with her everywhere she goes. Oh. That's not necessary. And let's be realistic about it. Like, I love them together, sure. But Spencer has a lot of maturing to do on his own.
Yes.
Like, a lot. He still has a long ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still going to have conflict because he's so concerned about Ace anyway. So is she really going to get 100% of him in the relationship if he's right. focused on his father and Ace and all this other stuff? Yeah. No.
You're right. You're absolutely right. All right. And then kind of let's move on a little bit from that whole situation. And let's move into something that has gotten a little bit of controversy on Twix. What hasn't? But Adam. Adam had a big week this week. And
oh, yeah.
That
was the other big focus aside from the whole Nina.
Yes.
Crazy so drama.
Adam goes ahead and he storms out of the dorm because he got into it with Jocelyn because of, I forget what reason it was, probably because of some grade on the test or something. Or because of the, I think it was because Jocelyn called the RA. So,
oh yes, Jocelyn did call the RA. He was pissed about that. Yes, he was pissed and he was pissed that his parents got called and that was the whole thing. We finally saw his dad at the hospital, which was really good. So we did find out essentially that he is telling the truth, that his, at least his dad,
yeah,
like a straight up asshole.
I have to give Courtney Folk a lot of props for coming in, and she's been killing it as replacement Joss. You know,
100%.
In this storyline alone, she is being absolutely fantastic regarding this. And when we saw her fight so passionately for Adam, you know, whether it was Portia saying we have to call his parents because there is you know, emergency contact on his school paperwork, or the fact of her going ahead and getting into the father's face, saying the only reason why he tried to kill himself is because of you. That
was a big Jocelyn power move this week. And was. I actually yes. super respect her for that.
Absolutely.
Because it needed to be said.
Yes,
because who is. Else was going to say it but her, right? Yeah,
exactly. And she always speaks her mind. I mean, she is Carly's daughter. But, you know, she absolutely killed it. And, you know, it's like when she found, you know, when he passed out in front of her and she called the 911 and she had to get his guitar and, you know, she told the EMTs, these are what I fell out of his pocket and everything. It was absolutely awesome the way that she went ahead and did
exactly.
that.
I mean, she legit found him in the park drinking a huge bottle of vodka or whatever it was. And he passed out on her. She knew he'd been drinking. She knew he's super stressed about his parents all the time in school.
Yep.
Like, she did the right thing.
Yes.
He doesn't like her for it right now.
Right.
But eventually, hopefully that'll come to pass. And hopefully he'll end up respecting her for it. But this whole thing with his parents, I'm sure, I'm really interested to play out. I'm really interested to see if his mother is as big of a problem as his father appears to be in his life.
Yeah, exactly. No, and I'm anxious because his father came off as a real asshole. Like, seriously, we know for a fact that, you know, we know that what we know about them from just Adam saying, you know, my parents are very hard on me and stuff. But for Adam's father to come out and say, well, don't do any unnecessary tests and up his medical bills because he's already wasting all the money we're spending at PCU for his classes and this because he's not taking them seriously and blah, blah. What? Like, your kid is in the hospital because...
Yeah, that came across so, like, uncaring and crass. Like,
I wanted to slap the guy.
I don't give a crap about my kid's health. I just care that he's out of the hospital and doing, like, 100% and A's on
it. And that he wants, you know, he wants to take him home now. What? And Portia steps up and says, no, he has to have a psych eval and he's going to be here a little longer. He's like...
I think his freaking father and probably his mother at this point need a psych eval. No wonder why that kid's messed up. If his parents are real assholes, no wonder why this kid's messed up. So yeah. It's completely valid all this time that he's been saying, oh, my parents. And I was like, really? Is it really your parents? Or is there something else going on? But now that I see his father's a real asshole, like, okay, that point's valid. Like,
well, you proved that. One day, you know, what we have seen is, you know, absolutely despicable, but we've only seen him one day. So let's kind of wait a little while. Maybe there's more.
Yeah, true. One day. Okay.
kind of going back to the chat. Chad says, shippers tend to feel, and I say this as a Steve and Kayla fan on days, that we tend to expect couples to be attached to the hip. Sometimes couples, as I've said, need a holiday. That's in response to the Sabrina stuff. I don't doubt Eden would have done a good job, but Courtney and Jocelyn has been great. Yes, I love Josh standing up to Adam's dad. He deserved it. A type A, you know what? Yeah, I filled in that information. The you know what is an asshole. Sorry for so many comments, folks, but Adam's father has him so terrified and feeling ashamed. I feel for Adam. I hated when Adam's dad said that about the bills. The father needs his head checked, and that's absolutely true. And, you know, it's...
I'm sure Adam's not the only one who needs a psych evaluation, so...
It's one thing to want to have good stuff for your kids and want your kids to excel. But newsflash, the kid never asked to be here, you know, so you can't expect your expectations you can't pass on to your kids. You know,
well, right. And Jocelyn was like, you're pushing him. You're pushing him to the point where he literally wanted to kill himself. Like, it was a suicide attempt. So, like, she needed to say that. It needed to be spoken. And, like, yes, it was technically, like, private, confidential, I guess, medical information because he's sitting in the middle of the hospital, 10th floor or whatever. But, like, I mean, it needed to be said because who else was going to say it but Joss? And no one else was probably going to, like, say that to Adam's parents' face but Joss, because that was, like, a thing. And Adam's probably going to be really angry at her for that. But, like, so what? Like, he has problems. He needs to address them.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. He does. So, you know, with Adam, I'm anxious to see where the story goes. I want to see the mother come in and see the dynamic with Adam and his parents and kind of see where that goes. I don't want them to do a relationship between Joss and Adam. I don't think that that's going to be where they go.
I think Joss is going to be their friend.
You know, and that's all there is to it.
Because let's be real. Dex is hot as hell. He is hot AF, as they say. I don't think I will be dropping that for Adam, who's seriously psychologically messed up. Like, why would that be a thing? I don't understand why people would think that'd be a couple. I'm sorry. But, like, they're just friends. She's literally genuinely concerned for his health and well-being. That's how I perceive it. Maybe other people are perceiving it differently. But that's what I see. And I genuinely actually see Dex trying to help her in that regard.
I agree.
So I'm fine with it. As long as Dex does it, I don't think Dex feels threatened or think Adam's trying to take his woman or anything like that. So I think it's a genuine concern for Adam's health and well-being at this point.
Yeah. No, I agree with you completely. And speaking of Dex, he did have a little bit of work this week. He, at the end of last week, Sonny asked him to take care of Cyrus, and he went and...
He's almost going to do it.
He went to the hospital and saw that Nina went in there with Cyrus. He got some scrubs from the locker room. He got a syringe and some medication, and as soon as he's ready to inject Cyrus, he looks out and Sonny's there and just gives him the whole we're not gonna do it. And then and Cyrus grabs his hand and says, "What were you gonna do?" And
Of course, at that moment, of course.
yes, exactly. And that's when Sonny comes in and Dex gets out of there, and Sonny and Cyrus, have their chat. And Cyrus says,
Then Dex almost got caught by another employee,
"Yeah,
another
the
orderly
other,
or nurse or whatever it was, and he came up with a cover story real quick. He was quick on his feet to be thinking, so.
I thought that was pretty funny." And then, well, Dex himself, I mean, Evan Hoffer, he has charisma. He's.
I mean, okay, I think that dude is a Ken magnet. I swear that dude could have chemistry with a dog and I would ship it because, like, that dude, he could look at me, he could look at anybody on GH with those eyes, and I'd be like, I'm in love with you, man. I'm in love with you. No joke. Just like Austin Butler, look at you with those eyes, that voice, that sexy voice. I'm it. That's it. I'm done. Like, he's a Ken magnet with anybody on the canvas. He's even got it with Temp Joss. He's got it with Sonny. He's got chemistry with everybody. So hats off to Evan Hoffer because,
I want them to
whew,
keep I want
it's
them to
good.
keep Evan Hoffer for years if they could.
I hope so.
He's
I honestly, he's
got
so
a
good.
great future in acting. I want them to hold on to him as long as they can.
He's
I don't want it to.
doing such a great job, and he's doing an event with Michael Easton coming up, and I would love to go, but I'm sure after New York, I'm going to be broke for like 2 months, so I won't be able to go. But like anyone who can go meet Evan Hoffer and like Michael Easton or Evan Hoffer and like Jocelyn when they do like, I mean, not Jocelyn, but like I'm sorry, her name in real life to do a Zoom event, like go do it. Like
For
I
those of
recommend
you
it.
actually in the Connecticut area, Michael Easton, Roger Howarth, and Josh Swickard are going to be in Stamford
Wish I
in
could go.
February. It's a
So
Saturday
wish I
at
could go.
10 a.m.
Oh
I'm
my gosh.
probably not going to make it just because my funds are tied up with
Jeff Swickard.
WrestleMania.
Before Austin Butler, there was you, baby. But you are like happily married. So I respectfully respect that. So,
Chad,
David knows. I love me some Joss Swickard, but I also love me some Austin Butler, hence this
Chad, that's
weekend.
hilarious. Dex should get the Shawn Michaels theme. I'm just a Dexy boy instead of sexy boy.
I think Evan is hot as hell too, to be honest. Like they're like Evan and like Josh have that like charisma and that like chemistry they could pull off with anybody. It's really impressive, to
Charisma
be
is
quite
something that
honest.
you can't teach. There's a lot of
Yeah.
actors that come through that don't have the charisma, but they can act. But when you're able to have chemistry with a lot of people, and you have that charisma, you can see it. That's that it factor.
It's the it factor that makes all the women at home swoon and go, oh yeah, I'd bang Dex too. I'd also bang Jace. Yeah, definitely. Like, you know what I'm talking about, ladies. You know,
And
if
then you
you,
have Steve
you know.
Burton coming back as Jason. So it all depends. And
Yeah.
I can't wait to
Yeah.
see
With a
how they
leather jacket.
put him back. There has been rumors, and I heard this today on Take Two Radio that there are rumor and innuendo that Lucky might be coming back, whether it's Jonathan Jackson or Jacob Young is still up in the air, whether or not one.
I don't know how I feel about that. I'd rather, to be honest, I like it to be Jonathan Jackson. Not, no offense to Jacob Young, but his
Well,
portrayal was
Jonathan
like
Jackson, in my opinion,
obsessive boyfriend craziness. So I didn't really care for his version of Lucky just because it was the time period, it was the storyline. It was really probably nothing to do with like the his portrayal, it was the writing. But
was he the
it's
one that
just
portrayed Lucky when he was having his substance abuse problems with Maxie and
no,
Or was that
that
Jonathan
was Greg
Jackson?
Vaughn. That was
Oh, that
Greg
was Greg
Vaughn.
Vaughn. Okay.
Yeah, that was Greg Vaughn. Jacob Young was the version of Lucky that came back after the first version of Lucky died in the fire. After Lucky and Liz had their teenage love story, they fell in love, and then Lucky died in the fire, and it was really incredibly devastating for Elizabeth. And then when he came back, he was Jacob Young as Lucky, and he was trying to get, he didn't really have his memories back yet because Helena had like brainwashed him and all this like cuckoo crazy stuff, and then eventually I think he got his memories back. But I only watched them through the lens, I've only watched the Lucky and Liz version 2 through the lens of Liaison. So I was a Jason Elizabeth fan at that point, and I was watching them for the lens of that. So Lucky and Liz version 2 was pretty much like an obstacle to Liaison getting together. So I really didn't care because I wanted Jason Elizabeth together. So I was like, this guy, Lucky, this version 2 after the fire, is a crazy, obsessive boyfriend. Get him away. I don't care if he sleeps with Sarah, whoever. I don't care. Just get him off my screen. He's an asshole. He's obsessive. He's like, he wants to like control Elizabeth and what she does 24/7. I don't like it. Get him off my screen. But that was, again, through the lens of being a Jason Elizabeth fan. So if you were not in that mind space, you probably perceive them a different way. But I only saw it because I watched Jason Elizabeth scenes through DVD. Like somebody, you know, had all their scenes on DVD and I bought it and I watched all of their history through that.
Yeah.
So I will put it in that way because, you know, if you watched the entire history, like the full episodes back then, you know exactly what happened. And I know it was Helena brainwashing him and whatever. But I'm still, it was not the same. Lucky and Liz version 2 with Jacob Young was not the same. And I think even Lucky and Liz fans can admit that to some extent. It was not the same. So when Greg Vaughn came into the picture, it was actually a better version of Lucky. And that's why they got married in 2005. And they had that beautiful wedding. But then he got addicted to drugs. He slept with Maxie. And we know how that all went down. And then she did the deed with Jason. And it was amazing. And, you know, I could go on and on about that forever, but I won't. But Night of Passion was amazing. I don't call it a one-night stand. It was a night of passion, and it was amazing. And it was something that had been percolating between Jason and Elizabeth and had been building between Jason and Elizabeth probably since 1999. So I will just leave it at that. That was a long time coming. That was 7 years in the making, y'all. 7 years, we got that love child, and now they barely even acknowledge they even had a relationship because that's how General Hospital is these days.
Well, let's see if when Jason comes back, hopefully they do recognize that a little bit more, especially with Jake. Because so here's the thing, and something that was brought up is they started the whole Charlotte storyline about her being brainwashed by Victor and everything. They started all that. And then, lo and behold, Scarlett Fernandez goes and gets surgery done. So now she's off for a while. So that story is kind of put on the back burner.
Right.
When she does come back, I hope that, I hope Jake is very much involved because he has experience being brainwashed by Helena.
Please be involved. Please write the story.
That's when Jason comes in and, you know, Jason to be there for his son, you know, and I hope that that is the case.
I mean, the story writes itself, right? Like, I mean, it's there.
I mean, for all we know right now, Jason Morgan.
They do it? I don't know.
For all we know right now, Jason Morgan is buried under rocks on Cassadine Island. So
this is my theory. He's going to come back with memory issues. Maybe he's going to be a Quartermain. Maybe he's going to be a Jason Morgan. I don't know. We don't know. Will Jason and Elizabeth even exist in his memory? For with my luck, probably not. Jason and Elizabeth will be like, what? What was that? That never existed because I'm Jason Quartermain. Like that's my theory. Or we'll get the initial Jason and Elizabeth scene and then we won't see them for 3 to 6 months. That's my guess. And that's me as a very jaded, like heartbroken Jason Elizabeth fan, because that's just me being realistic, honestly, because Some Jason Elizabeth fans have the like eternal hope, like my friend Lori. I love my friend Lori, but she has like eternal hope to the point where it's like it sounds like fantasies coming out of her sometimes. So she's like, well, this is gonna happen. I think this is gonna happen. And I'm like, we'll see. I don't see any hints of it on my screen yet, but we'll see. If I don't see any hints of them being a romantic thing, which I seriously doubt is ever gonna happen again. I'm sorry. I love Liaison. I would love for them to be romantic together. But if they ever went there again and they shocked me and Elizabeth Corte decided, you know what? We're gonna put Jason and Elizabeth back together romantically and we're gonna build it up for a year and we're gonna get them back together. I would lose my shit. I would lose my mind. You would see me screaming. I would wake up my whole entire neighborhood. If they did a Jason Elizabeth flashback, I would lose my freaking mind. You heard it here first, folks. I would lose my mind. Do I think that's going to happen? No. Because as long as Jason is in Sunny and Carly's orbit and Sam's orbit, his history with Elizabeth is like
Well,
barely a freaking thought.
I don't necessarily know if, he'll be in Sam's orbit, especially because her and Dante, Sam and Dante have a fantastic relationship. I like Sam and Dante. I feel
Oh yeah, me too. No. I really hope that continues.
I want to see Sam and Dante continue even when Jason comes back. I don't want to see Sam and Jason again. Unless
No,
it's going to
please
have
no.
a
That's so
story behind
overdone.
it.
Yeah.
Unless it's going to have a story behind it.
The Jason and Sam thing is overdone. Now, could I see them being friends,
Yeah,
co-parents?
of course.
Sure. Obviously. Obviously, that's probably going to be the case.
Yeah.
Can I see them doing the same thing with Jason and Elizabeth? Sure. Once every 3 to 6 months. I'm sorry, General Hospital. That's just how it's been in the past. But now, Elizabeth Corte, since you're now head writer, and if you are listening to this podcast, I would love for them to at least co-parent once a month. That's probably the best case scenario. And I'm coming from that. That's the most hope I have for Liaison as far as any kind of scenes together go. Will they ever be a romantic pairing again? Like I said, I would lose my mind if they made them a romantic pairing again. Will it happen? Like 1% chance. I'm not kidding. That's what I believe. And even as a Liaison fan, I believe that because that's just the history of what the powers that be has shown is that they don't really care about the Jason Elizabeth history anymore. Would they do Jason and Sam again? Yeah, they'd probably do them again in a minute because that's just the history they've shown to me as a viewer.
Well, they really didn't do, and again, and it's the same thing. If Lulu came out of her coma, I don't want to see Dante with Lulu again. Like, honestly,
No,
I didn't think
we're
that
past that.
I didn't think that M. Rylan had the kind of chemistry with Dominic Zampronia as Julie Berman did.
Okay, I'm going to say a hot take here. You know who did have chemistry? Dylan
Yes.
and Lulu had chemistry. And I know people are probably gonna fight me on this on Twitter, maybe. Then I'm gonna be like, yeah, whatever, okay. He was like on the show for another 3 or 4 years, whatever, whatever. Oh my gosh, as Dylan, like Robert and was it Emma, is it her name, Emily? It's E. No.
Oh, wait a minute, which one are you talking about?
Lulu, the latest Lulu.
Who, Julie Berman or M. Rylan?
No, not Julie.
Oh, M. Rylan.
Emmy Rylan, those two had chemistry, y'all. Okay, I know they were together. They kissed for like maybe one or two scenes, whatever, whatever. It was like 10 years ago now, I think. But I mean, if
Still, I
you
didn't
look
think
back
Julie
on
would.
the YouTube scenes, those two like made out for like two scenes, like one or two scenes they made out. And I was like, holy crap.
I didn't think Lulu, I didn't think M. Rylan as Lulu was with Dylan. I thought that was Julie Berman years
He,
ago.
they weren't. They weren't. They were mainly together with Julie Berman version of Dylan and Lulu because I totally shipped them in 2006. The summer of 2006 was lit.
Right.
That was like hot. I love that.
Scott Clifton playing.
That was the summer I started watching General Hospital. It was summer of 2006. But no, you're right. Esme and Dylan. Dylan and Lulu were kind of like a 2 second thing. Because they made out for like 2 seconds while he was trying to film his movie or something.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the whole storyline, y'all, because I'm on my second glass of wine. But
I think you're thinking of Dylan and Kiki.
No, I'm not. Dylan and Lulu, if you look it up on, look it up on us. I'm not that drunk, y'all. look it up on YouTube. I'm serious. Dylan and Lulu made out when was the Robert Palmer walk-ins. An Emmy Ryland version of Dylan and Lulu, they made out. They had an instance where Dylan was like filming his movie. I think it was during the time like Lulu was helping him film his movie or something. And they like had a second where Lulu was going through this turmoil with Dante. And I think she was feeling super emotional or something. And they like made out. And Dylan thought they were like, they had a chance for a second, but it didn't happen.
I thought that was like my role.
It was like a second. It didn't like come to be a relationship, but they had a scene like one day, at least one day, where they made out on the Haunting Star on the couch. I remember this, y'all. Y'all know Candace out there from Take Two Radio and Soap Party 411. She knows what I'm talking about. She backed me up. But y'all know. If you know your GH history, you know this happened. I'm not dreaming this, y'all. I promise. This is on YouTube. You can look it up. Because I watched it. Because I loved Dylan and Lulu in 2006. And when they try to pull them off for like 2 seconds with the Emmy Ryland and Robert Scott Watkins version, I was like, man, they've got chemistry. Like, there's something there. Now, not everyone agrees with me. I understand that. You probably think they're disgusting. But I'm telling y'all, they made out on the Haunting Star on this round couch. And y'all know who've been watching General Hospital this long. You know what I'm talking about. Vinny doesn't know. But y'all know what I'm talking about. And it was hot and like clothes came off for like 2 seconds. It was good. It was like a field goal in football. It was amazing. But for me as a Dylan and Lulu fan, not for people who don't like them. Because obviously you probably disgusted by it. But for me as a Dylan and Lulu fan, I was really excited for like a minute. For a minute that I thought they might get together. For a minute.
I don't remember that at all.
I'm telling you, I'm going to look it up. Like, I'm going to have to extra.
They'll have to send me that. Send me those links.
Look it up. I'm not kidding. I'm not this drunk, y'all. I remember GH history. Like, I'm on my second glass of wine. I'm pretty buzzed, but y'all, I know this happened. I'm not kidding. Candace can back me up. David from Take Two Radio can back me up.
I remember when Lulu was thawed out, you know, and she didn't have her memory. I know she was with Milo for a couple, you know, for a little while.
Yeah, that was kind of a flash in the pan, to be quite honest. But then
after that, she went back to Dante and, you know, Dante cheated on her with Valerie for a brief minute, and they were kind of on the outs. But I don't remember. I don't remember those makeouts.
This was in like probably.
I remember like them hugging when he came back, and Chad said the same thing.
It was very brief. It was a very brief thing. I think it was probably during the summer. There was a lot of emotions. People didn't really know where they stood in their relationships. There were some unknowns, like maybe Lulu had this, I think Lulu had this like thing with Dante where they weren't really together, or they were having issues in their marriage. She kissed Dylan as like an emotional, it was like an emotional, you know, thing. She immediately pulled away and she was like, this is a mistake. I'm not going to have sex with you. But like, it was a thing. Like, they made out for a minute on the Haunted Star on a very circular couch. I did not imagine this. I remember this because I'm a Dylan and Lulu fan, y'all. I know this happened.
Well, we'll have to look at it. Chad's on it. Chad is digging deeper.
I can't find it, but yeah.
Well, either
it
way,
happened.
I wouldn't.
I know it happened.
I don't.
Robert Watkins can come on here himself and tell me because I've interviewed him, and I think he knows. He knows I'm a Dylan and Lulu fan.
I did like Dylan with Kiki. I thought that was a really good pairing.
That was cute too. I liked them too when it was Kristen Storms, right? So.
Oh, it was.
Or even not Kristen Storms. Yeah, when it was.
She's on YNR now. Haley Aaron.
She's on YNR now.
Haley Aaron.
I know who you're talking about. Yes, Haley Aaron. Yeah. That was so cute, and I shipped them so hard. And it was just really weird when she was with Griffin for like 2 seconds. It was weird. It was a thing. It was a flash in the pan.
Griffin was sleeping with her mother.
That was a whole convoluted mess. That should have never happened.
But then Ava slept with Morgan too. So it's like.
She liked the younger guy. She wanted to play in the waters there a little bit, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so here now bringing up history. How could Ava be so mad at Nicholas for sleeping with his son's girlfriend when she did the same thing with her daughter twice and slept with her daughter's boyfriend?
Oh, see, now we really digging up history there. Now we really digging up the dirt, Vinny. Now we're doing what people do on Twix and be like, remember when? How could she be like this?
Look up General Hospital 6415. That's according to Chad.
Thank you, chat. I'm telling you, I'm remembering this correctly. It happened. It was definitely a flash in the pan. It was like a day or two, and they thought maybe Dylan and Lulu would get together for like a second, and it didn't happen. But it happened. It happened for like a moment. They had a moment of weakness, and it was hot. It was good chemistry.
I will definitely look that up. All right, but how are we doing with stuff that happened in Port Charles? I don't think we saw anything with Curtis this week. I don't think, I mean, other than the fact that, you know, he had his surgery, he came out of the surgery this upcoming week.
Right. They had the surgery.
Chad said,
I think it went well.
We're having a Mandela effect thing going on here.
I hope things are on the up and up with Curtis. I will say that. I hope Curtis gets back to moving and grooving.
Walking, his ability to walk back, I do.
We need to get him walking again because the whole Curtis not walking thing is not working for me. And I don't think it's working for a lot of other viewers.
Yeah.
So, like, it's boring. Like, we need to get Curtis up and walking. We need to see him making strides in physical therapy, doing what he's got to do, especially after the surgery. Yep. Like, let's get his walking back. And then, because you can only have a man like him in a wheelchair so long. And I know a lot of viewers out there find him attractive, and you need to see that man getting some. So he's not really getting a whole lot in a wheelchair. So I'm just saying, for the Curtis fans out there, I hear you, but like, they need to do something to get that moving.
Well, I think we've kind of wrapped everything up in General Hospital this week. Again, just a couple of quick programming notes. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, Dockside at the Bay. My new co-host Kim will be joining me as we talk about The Bay, The Beginning, Episode 2. The premiere episode is already up on YouTube and on the podcast feed. I talked about The Bay, The Beginning, Episode 1 on my own. Also, go ahead, like this video, subscribe, get notified. Thank you for watching, as always. Thank you for the chat. Nathan, Chad, David, thank you for coming in and providing some information for us. And then next week, we will be back again next Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern as well. And as again, go ahead and use our affiliate link for WWE Shop merchandise, like this cool CM Punk shirt. Go to sudsandsquarecircle.com/wrestlingmerch. It does give us commission, so go ahead and use it. You know, the Royal Rumble again is this coming Saturday night at 8 p.m. on The Cock, also known as Peacock. And that'll be a fantastic premium live event as well. Again, the awesome tumbler that I have was made by Creations by Riss, R-I-S-S, and her email address is creationsbyriss@gmail.com, and she does do a lot of custom tumblers.
Saw a little bit on her Facebook, so I'm impressed. Yes,
absolutely. Follow her on Facebook as well, Creations by Riss. Anything you need to know about us, go to our website, sudsandsquaredcircle.com. That way you could also subscribe to our podcast as well. And all of our YouTube shows and videos and podcasts go to that platform as well as all the links you need for us on Twix, on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok, everywhere. All right. Again, thank you all for coming in. We're going to get into our thankful minute because we're just about done here. And we've been talking for
I can't believe we're done already. We really covered everything?
We did. I believe we did. The only thing that we did not cover, Michael went to Ned and said that he wanted his proxies back, his voting shares. Because, you know, everybody knows about him knowing about Nina. And Ned's like, well, Tracy went to him and said, like, Ned held up his end of the bargain. Like, why, you know, why would he give you your shares back? And Michael's like, you know, the whole thing was to keep the secret quiet. And I don't know, that was just kind of ridiculous. That scene itself was just absolutely ridiculous. Although Tracy did say, I'm proud of you as a quartermain, you're showing your quartermain side. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But either way, it's just a lot of stuff going on there as well.
Yeah, we'll see how that whole ELQ, because now Michael seems like he wants to push Ned out of ELQ. And
yeah,
I think Michael's a big control freak. I will say that. Michael's a big control freak. Yeah. That's what's happening, like I've said before.
He has more of Sonny in him than he wants to admit.
Oh, yeah.
But that's pretty much it. So now we're going to get into our thankful minute, as always. It is something we do just to give thanks and show how much we are thankful for what we have. As always, ladies first. So, Christy, I'm going to put you up on the clock. Here's our thankful minute.
Okay, so... I'm thankful I have a job with like one of the best bosses ever who is letting me go to New York this week because I'm going to chase down this guy named Austin Butler, who I think is absolutely gorgeous. We'll see how that turns out, y'all. Stay tuned. At Creative15 is my Twitter, so you'll probably hear about it there first. Let's see. I'm thankful. So definitely for my job. I'm thankful for my roommate / bonus mom who did these awesome fake nails and put them on my nails. So you may have heard her a little bit behind camera in the beginning of the podcast. She was putting on my nails and she loves wrestling. So she was cheering you on, Vinny, in the beginning. So yeah, I'm just very thankful for my bonus mom for being able to go to New York where I'm probably going to get bankrupt. That's okay. Cause you know, that's what New York City does to you. And I don't know. It's going to be hopefully a great week because I finally feel like I'm not sick. I'm not super sleepy because I have all this adrenaline and anxiety and excitement for New York. So that's where I'm at right now. So y'all, so follow me at CreativeFan15 on Twitter. You'll probably see some updates.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and get mine done. Thankful for a lot this week. And I did actually thank Christy as well earlier this over the weekend for renewing my yearning for wanting to get closer to God, getting back into church, becoming closer. I'm trying to do a whole reset of a lot of the aspects of my life in terms of physical, spiritual, and professional, trying to grow this brand, Suds Media, Suds in the Squared Circle. You know, so I want to thank everybody for coming in to listen and watch, and share alike. Let's get the views up. Let's get the audience up. Let's get the subscriptions up. I want to try to get monetized and make this my job. And I know a lot of that comes from me putting out the content. That's why I'm doing it. But I want to thank you all for coming into the chat room. And thank you all for contributing as well. Chad, you're awesome. And Nathan as well. And David. Thank you guys for coming in. And thank you for sharing. Thank you for the Take Two Radio crew for bringing me on. And as well as just all the friends I've made through the podcasts, whether it's Pier 54, 10th Floor, JLJ Media, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Max Updates GH as well, and his family, the Tomlin family. So thank you. And you know what, Christy, we're going to have a good week this week in Port Charles.
Going to have a good week.
And in a few weeks, we'll see the new writers come in and you know, we'll see their stuff start to trickle out, as well as Jason Morgan coming back. So, again, tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here where you're watching this show, you're going to see Dockside at the Bay. So tune in. That's with my co-host for that show, Kim, and we'll be talking all things about the Bay. All right, so for Christy, I'm Vinny. We will see you next week right here on Suds in the Squared Circle, Suds News. Have a great night, everybody. Bye. Okay, live stream has stopped and the record.